Blog Talk Radio.
Is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard. Another great Extra Points Radio Show for you this Saturday morning. A lot going on in the world of sports, as everyone knows. NBA hoops, playoffs, NHL on the ice, even got some horse racing, even got some boxing. We got all kinds of things going on in the world of sports. So this hour will go by extremely quickly. And, hey, want to thank Super Referee Craig Muckle last week for stepping in and joining us as we went retro and went back to a two-guy show. Two-guy show. We went back to a 30-minute show, and we went back to basically no sound effects. So it was pretty interesting. It was fun. We had a good time. But we're back doing our regular thing. And as always, we got great guests. Today we got from George Mason University, play-by-play guy, been doing it for about, over a decade, Bill Rowland, as well as Bill's on WSA Channel 9 here in D.C. On a show called Overtime, which is a great show about sports. And then he's on 106.7 The Fan. This guy's busier than I am. I'm going to have to figure this guy out. I mean, how's he getting all this work? I'm going to figure that out. So Bill's going to come in and talk a little sports with us. And, of course, on the second half of the show, Super Referee Craig Muckle will be joining us. So, as always, everyone knows, we start our show with our pay attention topic. And we got a couple of topics today. One that's really, really, really under the radar is, remember when Georgetown University, I love Georgetown, decided to get rid of JT3 finally. And they went with Patrick Ewing. You know, and Patrick Ewing's an NBA Hall of Famer, a collegiate Hall of Famer, an Olympic gold medalist, great guy, great assistant coach. We haven't heard anything since he's been hired. Now, it's been at least a month, month and a half. There are no assistants hired. Is there any recruiting getting done? Like, what? Pat, what's going on, man? Where you at? Can't take vacation now. And I doubt that he is. I'm sure he's working hard, but my goodness. I'm gonna try to find Pat Ewing and find out what in the heck's going on with the Hoyer assistants. Second thing, Cleveland and Golden State. Come on, man. Can we hurry up and get to this, please? That game last night, 130-86, and LeBron only had 30. So 130-86. It's a 46-point win, 44-point win, and it's 2-0 already. It's the worst home playoff loss in the Celtics history, worse by a one seed ever in the NBA, and the largest win by LeBron in his playoff career. So can we hurry up and get to this Cavs-Warriors deal, please? I mean, this is ridiculous, and I'm sure we'll talk more on that later in the show with Super Referee Craig Muckle. Got another one here. We could talk about the Wiz and the Cavs failures again. I mean, I was pumped up for that Wizards game seven. And then right before the game came on, I was just doing some reading, and I remembered the Wizards haven't gone past the first round of the NBA playoffs since 1979. So why in the world did I think they were going to win this time? Because I thought it was their time. First of all, I think they're better than the Celtics. I really do. I think they're better. But for some reason, there's still an ingredient missing. And I'm not even sure if it's missing. It just didn't show up in that game seven. So, you know, I'm a big Otto Porter guy. I thought he should have got the ball more in the entire playoff, but especially in game seven, just to give them a third option. That didn't happen. I don't know where the team goes next, and that's one of the topics we want to talk about with Super Referee Craig Muckle is, you know, what do the Wizards do now? I mean, they're not the Knicks, right? So you don't blow them up. But, man, it took me a good day and maybe 2 days to get over the Wizards. Then on the other side, the Cavs. So I'm thinking about the Cavs. I went to University of Pittsburgh. And the Penguins were awful. The Steelers were awful when I was there. So, but I remember the Penguins beating the Cavs in like a game seven. But that was years ago. So I'm going, all right, there's no way that this is going to happen again. There's no way the Cavs are going to lose this thing again. But guess what? Absolutely did. They were down 3-1. They teased us again, went 3-3, game seven, at home, here at Verizon Center. And what happened? They blow it again. They haven't come out of the second round. I think the only time was once, and that was 98 when they went to the Stanley Cup and got swept four times. Other than that, they've only been conference champions, yeah, just that one time in 98. They've been around since 74. That's not real good. So we could talk about those three things forever. However, we're not. We got a real pay attention topic. So everyone knows I'm a football coach, and everyone knows if it was up to me, this show would be all football all the time. But there is a topic out there that's lingering around that's got to be discussed. RG3 versus Colin Kaepernick. Now, on the RG3 side of the house, first of all, I'm a Redskins fan. I'm a big RG3 fan, and I get it. He's been injured. He's been hurting. And it's been tough on him. You know, he's had multiple offensive coordinators. It's been tough. On the other side of the house, Kaepernick, kind of a similar quarterback, you know, athletic, great size, and a nice arm and everything. But he went to the Super Bowl that 1 year. He had 1 year. Yeah, one good year. That's it. Now, of course, the whole, you know, kneeling down and not standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance, all that stuff. Now that's kind of his calling card now, and it's unfortunate that that's his calling card. But neither one of these guys, both were cut by their teams, which isn't surprising. 49ers got a new coach, a little Shanny, Kyle Shanahan, my favorite, one of my favorites, and Cleveland Brown, who had the number one overall pick in the draft, decided to go defense, which is the right thing to do. But they cut RG3, and they're going to go with Cody Kessler at least to start in OTAs and rookie camp and that, training camp. So we'll see what happens at the quarterback spot. But they thought enough of Cody Kessler to cut RG3. So here's the thing. Neither one of these guys have been picked up yet. That's one issue. But the other issue is which one will be first. I'm way biased here. I just like RG3. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a great leader. You know, he probably doesn't have the athleticism that he once had because of the injuries. But, you know, I think he'd be a decent backup, maybe win you a game or two. Now, will he be distracting? Possibly. If your starter gets injured, and RG3 comes in and wins three games, he's going to want to, you know, proclaim himself the starter. And I just don't think that that's going to work. So that concerns me. On the other side of the house, Kaepernick, you know, guy's been in the Super Bowl. I think Kaepernick can be distracting without even playing. I think there's always going to be this cloud, which is unfortunate, but I think there's always going to be this cloud over him around the whole political statement and commentary that it's going to raise its head. So, you know, if I'm a team, and I guess it depends on which team, if Seahawks are the rumored team, you know, I think both guys could make it there. I think Russell Wilson is a great leader himself. He'd be a good mentor for these guys, although they don't really need a mentor. But he's a low-ego guy, so I think that would help out. But, you know, like I said, I'm just really, really biased, and I can't pick it. But I think if it's up to me, I'm going with RG3 just on the fact that his only distractions are going to happen if he plays and wins, which is a good thing for a team. I think the other guy, Kaepernick, I think is a distraction even if he's not playing. And that's not a good thing. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know if it'll be Seattle. I think there's some other teams out there that could take a look. But, you know, thank goodness neither one of them are coming here. Whew, we don't need them. But you know, we'll see what happens. So hey, that's our pay attention topic for today. We, you know, if you want to weigh in, feel free to call in 215-383-3872, and who would you pick? Who would you take? Would you take RG3, or would you take Colin Kaepernick, and why? Are you taking Cleveland, or are you taking Golden State, and why? And does anyone know where Patrick Ewing and his staff is? If you do, feel free to call in 215-383-3872. Because I thought we were supposed to be recruiting. And then lastly, of course, if you have the nerve to call in and say that the Wizards will get out of the second round next season or the Caps, tell me how. How will that happen? So those are our pay attention topics for Saturday. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and then we got good friend Bill Rowland. Now, Bill, this guy, I can't wait to talk to him. This guy is the busiest man in sports, George Mason. So I got to find out if he knows Tony Skin, because Tony's a friend of mine. If he was doing games at Mason when they went to the Final Four, I'm sure he's got a story to tell. So George Mason University Hoops play-by-play guy, 106.7 The Fan, which is where my radio is locked all the time. So well, you could hear him there. And then, of course, on Channel 9, WSA 9 on Overtime. And we did have Frank Hanrahan in 2 weeks ago. So good to have WSA 9. And we've also had Coach Steve Howes in here. Coach Howes has been here 2 or 3 times. So this is good stuff. So, hey, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come right back with good friend Bill Rowland. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Oh, man, the musical stylings of one Charles Brown, or as we like to say in the DMV, Chucky B. Hey, I tell you what, we got a subject matter expert around DC sports on the line here, Bill Rowland. Bill, are you there?
Keith, good to be with you this morning, man.
What's going on, man? When do you have time to squeeze a little guy like me into the fray? I mean, you got a lot going on here.
Man. Yeah, well, you know, it's off season. Basketball's only in the wintertime, so we're always glad to help out the local folks. So it's my pleasure to hang out with you today.
Well, I appreciate it. We won't keep you long here. So George Mason, Mason Nation, I got to ask you about that because Tony Skin's been on the show and he's a friend of mine. So I got to ask you. I know you got some stories about the Larranega days. You got anything for us?
Yeah, well, I mean, I started there actually as a student way, way back. We don't have to talk about how long ago it was, but I was definitely there for Tony's entire career, his 3 years. You know, was there when he came in as a recruit. Can remember him coming in for his visit and everything. And Tony's one of the guys in this industry as far as college basketball goes that I think – while he's down in Louisiana Tech right now as an assistant under one of our former assistants and Eric Conkle, I think Tony's destined to be a pretty good head coach of his own someday. He's a guy who, smart basketball guy, really knows how to motivate the kids. I know when he was up here locally coaching high school, other coaches raved about him. Tony's a great guy. I didn't know that you guys were friends. That's awesome. I love Tony. He's one of my favorite all-time mates and players. Not only because he played on the Final Four, but because he played so hard every single time out. You knew that he wasn't going to be one of these guys that maybe dogged it against a team that was in the lower half of the league. He gave every single time out. You knew Tony was going to show up. So he's one of my favorite guys from Mason history.
Well, he is. And I tell you something else about him is he's humble pie. And that's what I love about him. I've been proud to call him a mentor, and I think he should be here. So let me ask you another question. Where is Patrick Ewing and this staff? I mean, you know, every week I was on the radio here talking about, hey, JT3's got to go. I just shoot it straight. And then so they get Pat, who I love. I've heard nothing since. I mean, are we recruiting? What the heck's going on? Get Tony Skin up here, and let's get some kids and turn this program around. It's been quiet over on the Hilltop. What's going on?
Yeah, Keith, you know what the funny thing is I know Tony was here for an interview at one point. I think he was in town for it, or at least did a phone interview with them. And then, yeah, things just kind of went real quiet on that front. Look, it's kind of a little bit of a dead period right now. I mean, they're you know, slowly and quietly putting things together. I mean, they don't even have a full roster right now, let alone a full coaching staff. So, you know, give Coach Ewing some time. I'm sure he'll put guys together that make sense. Tony would be one of those guys. But as of right now, it doesn't look like he is going to be coming home for that job. But I guess it's still early in the summer. We'll see what happens. But it would be great for local hoops for him to be back up here. I think he's a guy that could help. He could help Coach Ewing with the local kids, knowing those WCAC kids, knowing the local DC public school kids. And he's, you know, as we know, Tony's got a good story to sell to these guys. I think it would be a win for Georgetown if they brought him back. I wouldn't like it because then Mason's recruiting against him, but, you know, it would be great for Tony.
Well, there you go. There you go right there. So Bill, what we do at the first 15 minutes on the Extra Points radio show is we have these pay attention topics. Usually they're under the radar things, like this whole FOIA, who's the assistant. But sometimes I'll throw out some stuff that's the obvious. Cleveland and Golden State, that is the obvious. This is horrible for NBA basketball, right? I mean, this is not good, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what you're watching for, to be honest with you, because this conversation, Keith, was the same one that people were having back in the 80s when everybody was saying, oh, the Lakers and the Celtics again? We have to put up with them again? I mean, those two teams – I think won, what, 7 or 8 of the 10 championships in that entire decade. So it's kind of one of those things that it goes in cycles. You know, if you were a Michael Jordan fan, did you care that the Bulls won 6 out of 8 titles? Probably not. If people are LeBron fans, or Cavaliers fans, they're thrilled that they're running through the playoffs again. If you're a Golden State Warrior fan, you can't wait to get back and get another shot at them. Now, as a casual NBA fan or somebody who'd like to see somebody else other than LeBron because he's going for what it'll be, what, his seventh straight finals or whatever it is now. I mean, he's doing some unbelievable things. I think that, then that NBA fan probably wishes at least that the games were competitive. They haven't lost yet, and they're destroying teams.
So, I mean, that game last night was ridiculous, right? I mean, here's what I'm trying to watch. I'm trying to watch I'm glad you brought up Celtics Lakers. There were several Hall of Famers in the series, right? I don't know any of these people, right? Past LeBron and one or two other guys, I don't know anybody. And now, depending on which other talk radio show you listen to, they're talking about blowing the Celtics up. Trade Isaiah Thomas. Draft you that number one overall pick, and I'm like, this is terrible. So it isn't a win in my eyes. Now I got to shift gears on you one more time to what was my real pay attention topic: RG3 versus Colin Kaepernick. And I think you caught the tail end of my commentary on that. What say you on this RG3 Colin Kaepernick? Does a team get one, and if so, which one, and then which team?
Wow, that's a lot to go through. I'm trying to put together. I'll be honest with you, Keith. I don't think anybody else has really posed it that way as far as one versus the other. Who would you rather have? And I did hear your commentary on about the distraction thing. To me, Kaepernick's probably a bigger distraction, if you want to call it that. But quite frankly, in the NFL and in sports, if you can play, how much of a distraction are you really? I mean, we've seen guys, Terrell Owens and all these receivers have these things in the past. I mean, even Gronkowski and all the nonsense that he does off the field that, some people may call it a distraction. Look, if he can play, no one cares. To me, Griffin isn't necessarily a distraction.
That's no truer word said than that one right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's the thing. To me, Griffin, he's not necessarily a distraction. I think he's a diva. I think he's got a higher opinion of himself than what he has shown in the NFL. I don't think he's a distraction. I just don't think he's a good quarterback. And I've been kind of on that since his second year when he tried to come back too early, and you could just see he made no progress from year one to year two, and we all know what happened in D.C. just went downhill from there. Kaepernick's a weird thing because he actually has shown, I think, better than Griffin at times, at least more consistent than Griffin. But I just don't know where there's a fit. And here's why I say that. He has to play a particular style. And if you're an NFL team, you have to run your offense with that particular style. If your starter doesn't run that style, can you use him as a backup? I mean, does that make sense? And you trust Kaepernick to come in and be able to back up? I'm just going to throw it out there, like a Matt Ryan in Atlanta. If Matt Ryan goes down, do you trust Kaepernick to be able to run that same offense in Atlanta as Matt Ryan does? I don't know that you can.
No.
So it's tough to find that fit for him, I think.
Well, I think it's in the Pacific Northwest. I think it's that locker room.
Fair point.
Led by Pete Carroll. They've got some goofy things going on at their practices. You got Richard Sherman on one side, highly intelligent guy, full of political commentary, blah, blah, blah. And they just basically run, if you watch Russell Wilson, he's kind of a slower, maybe not even athletic a guy as Kaepernick and RG3. I think he's a better quarterback. But if using the model you just described, Seattle's the place to go. The question is, If they pull the trigger, and by the way, they do need a backup. I think their backup is a college kid, so they need a backup. But here's the thing: if they go with that with either one, you got to do it with the least amount of damage, And I think RG3, the only damage he's going to provide if he wins three or four games, and that diva name that you threw out there, that's when that comes into play. The other guy, I think it comes into play without him even playing. I don't know if they're worth the risk. And right now, I guess they'd be willing to play for any money. I guess money isn't a factor, but it's going to be an interesting deal.
Yeah, Keith, I tell you what, that's the best place, I think, that you nailed it on that, that Seattle makes sense because not only, as you mentioned, you got guys like Richard Sherman who aren't afraid to speak their mind, but Pete Carroll, I think, lets those guys be themselves as well. And Carroll, I think, would be able to squash anything that came up if the media tried to make something of it. I think he'd be a guy that would protect his players more than hanging them out to dry. Just say, hey, look, we're just here to play football. I'm not worried about all the other stuff. I don't want you guys worried about all the other stuff. So Seattle would be a perfect place for him if he's willing to be a backup and if he's willing to understand that that may be his future for the next 2 or 3 years, because I don't think he's going to supplant Russell Wilson, not a guy who's taken him to a couple Super Bowls.
No, he's not. But if you look at he left Tampa Bay. God, his name. He just signed a bunch of money.
Glennon? You talking about Glennon?
Mike Glennon. So yeah. Mike Glennon signed for huge money, right? And he's going to start. I mean, he's going right in and starting. And so that's kind of what you just described. Hey, you're going to have to sit and wait for 2 years. They already got the face of the franchise. But maybe you go somewhere else and be the face. We don't know. Speaking of face of the franchise, I'm going to let you out with this one, Bill. I'm having fun with you. I can tell you that. I got a Ovi, this Washington Capitals. What in the world? So, of course, they choked again. I went to the University of Pittsburgh, so I've seen this dance many, many a time. It's a nightmare for me. But is the Ovi era over? Try and say that three times.
I don't think the Ovechkin era is over. I think he'll still be here. I think the whole idea of the young guns, and look, some of them are already gone. Alexander Semin is gone. Mike Green is gone. They were two of the four that they called the young guns, backed from an Ovechkin, or the other two that are still around. I think you're seeing, and he was hurt through the playoffs. That's what we've heard, and it must be true because he didn't run right off and play in the World Championships like he usually does as soon as they're eliminated from the playoffs. Look, he's on the downside. His best days are behind him. That doesn't mean he still can't be a force in the NHL. It just means I think we've seen the last of Ovechkin scoring 50 goals. This team is going to be dramatically different. Not only do they have to deal with unrestricted free agency and restricted free agents, but they have to deal with now an expansion draft for the Vegas team. You're going to lose some guys that you may not want to lose. Grubauer may be one of those. Nate Schmidt may be one of those. There's a possibility, depending on who they protect, that other guys that we're used to seeing here aren't going to be here. Now, the nice thing is they've got pretty decent depth down in the minor leagues, although it's not as good as it used to be. Now they did the Shattenkirk deal a couple of years ago with the Marty Erad deal that sent Forsberg to Nashville, and look how that worked out for them. I think the Caps are still going to be good. Are they going to go win the President's Trophy next year? Probably not, but that hasn't gotten them anything in the past. They've done it three times. All three times they've gotten bounced. So I think they'll still be in the playoffs. And Keith, to be honest with you, it may be one of those things that without any expectations and without any pressure, they may play better. We may look up a year from now and go, wow, this team's in the Eastern Conference Final. How in the world did they get there? Because they're not as good as they were last year. It may just be the lack of expectation will actually help them in the long run. That's what we can hope for anyway as Caps fans, because they are not going to be the best team in the Eastern Conference next year. They don't have the cap space, and they're going to lose too many guys.
Well, I'm going to tell you what scares me about our two local teams, right? So when I was growing up as a kid, there was a show called Batman. And the name of the show was Batman. The other guy that sat on the passenger side, his name wasn't on the marquee. That was Robin.
Right.
So here you've got Batman on the basketball team, but Robin makes more money. Now, that's going to get fixed in this offseason, but I'm a little concerned about that one. Same thing with the Caps, I believe. I think Backstrom is Robin, but I think now with the guys you named, Schmidt and some of the other guys you named, just, is this now Backstrom's team, and then we just kind of move away from Ovechkin? You see what I mean? I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, no, I don't think necessarily that they move away from Ovechkin. I think it's going to be – I mean, he's he's not going to be the centerpiece that they've had before, but I don't know that that's necessarily moving away as much as it is trying to blend and rely on these younger guys like a Kuznetsov, like an Orlov back on the blue line on the defensive side. He was incredibly good this past year after being injured for the past couple of seasons and people weren't sure about him. They've got some good young talent. I think also, to be honest with you, Keith, if they would tell Tom Wilson, you don't have to be an enforcer. The enforcer is kind of out in hockey these days. You don't need a guy to go in there and like a Donald Brashear from back in the day. Go play hockey. He's talented. He can score. He can skate. He's big. He's not a 40-goal scorer, but he's a 25-goal scorer if they just turn him loose. I think you're going to see that from guys like Kuznetsov next year, guys like Wilson. They're going to still be Ovechkin's team, but he's not going to have just Robin and Backstrom. He's going to have some other help as well along those lines. They're going to be more like the League of Justice than just Batman and people following him along, if you want to go with the comic book route.
But don't you think that's a long fall from grace to go from a perennial MVP guy, a perennial scoring leader, your name's with Sid the Kid, to third line in the playoffs?
I give credit actually for Barry Trotz moving him to the third line because it actually worked for the couple of games. When they moved him down, I was there for, I guess it was game five back at the Verizon Center. And, people, when they got down, people were just waiting for it to end. You could feel the tension in that building. And then all of a sudden, the explosion of scoring in the third period. And you got to remember, it was Ovechkin basically sealing that game up, skating with the third line. The first line had a couple of goals go for them as well. So that tweak actually worked a little bit. Now, everybody's going to point to Game 7, and they're going to say Ovechkin didn't show up. But you know what? Neither did TJ Oshie. Neither did Backstrom. Neither did Shattenkirk. And none of those guys really played well in Game 7. But Ovi's got the C on his chest. So... I get it.
Right.
He's got the C. He's the guy on the marquee. He's the big guy. But I think it's tough for, unlike in basketball, when LeBron could play 45 to 48 of minutes, and he's going to be able to control the ball every time, and if his team goes down, you can put a lot of blame on him or, Curry or whoever it is. Ovechkin plays a third of the game. That's all the time he's on the ice. So – to blame it all on one guy in hockey, to me, is real tough. But I get it. I understand it because he's the big personality and he's got the C on his chest.
Yeah, that's true. And, it's funny you bring up an interesting point. I always ask people, what's the Mount Rushmore of D.C. sports? And I always say it's Ovechkin, Wall, Ovechkin, Wall, Bright. I never know for the guys in Ashburn. The Redskins, I can't say it's Kirk Cousins, but I guess it is because he's making way more money than he should be. But what do you think is the Mount Rushmore here in the DMV for sports?
If you're talking guys that are active now and one per team, I think you've nailed it. I mean, obviously it's Ovechkin, it's Wall, it's Bryce Harper right now. For the Redskins, I don't know who you would throw up there. I guess by default, because he's the quarterback, it would be Cousins. But you don't have a wide receiver anymore. I mean, some people may have been able to make the case for DeSean Jackson, but he's not here anymore. You don't have a stud running back. There isn't a stud linebacker or secondary guy that you would turn to and say, "Oh, that's the guy." I mean, maybe Josh Norman. I mean, that would be the only other argument that I could come up with is somebody might say Josh Norman over Cousins. But I think you're right, Keith. And right now, there is no superstar to latch on to as far as the football team, unless you want to look at Cousins because he's making all that money. But a year from now, he may not even be here. So that'd be tough. I tell people all the time, never buy jerseys of guys that are active because at some point you're probably going to have to get rid of it. Buy the retired jerseys. They last longer. You'll have to buy them one time.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Man, Bill, you're the best, man. I tell you, I could talk to you forever. Now, where can people hear and see and get all this interesting knowledge from Bill Rowland?
Well, I mean, obviously, they can give me a follow on Twitter. It's real simple, at Bill Roland, Roland's R-O-H-L-A-N-D. Sunday, that's where I usually tweet out if I'm going to be joining Frank and all the good friends over there at WUSA Channel 9. Usually do that about once a month or so, depending on what's going on. And hit or miss on 106.7 The Fan, just depends. With the Nats going and everything, not a lot of nighttime broadcasting to be done other than Nats games. So I'm best place is probably just Twitter. I usually post some stuff up there if I got stuff going on. But man, this has been a blast, man. Anytime you want me on, you let me know. I'll be glad to join you.
You got it, man. Well, I like the Bill and Coach show. I'm going to be calling you about that, and I'm going to hit you on Twitter because I think we could say some things that could shake this beltway up. So, hey, you're fun,
sure,
man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, and we'll definitely have you back out. Thanks, Bill.
Cool. Anytime, Keith. Have a good weekend, man.
Okay. Bill Roland, man, that guy, he's got it, man. He's got it. I mean, DMV Sports, I mean, I could have went national with it, but, man, he's got the DMV on lock. It felt like talking to myself. I mean, I love that. Good stuff. I mean, hey, absolutely good stuff. So, you know, hey, I still want to come back. We're going to get Super Referee Craig Muckle in here in a second. But, you know, I think he agreed with me on just about everything. You know, RG3 is a little less distracting. Maybe not the better quarterback, but a little less distracting. He felt like, yeah, no, the NBA, this isn't good, but we've seen this dance before from the NBA. So, you know, we're going to see it again. So, speaking of NBA, you got it.
And thanks for the warm welcome of validation of my work.
You are used to entering a building and getting booed, I'm sure.
Yeah, I am actually.
There you go.
So it's okay.
I gotta thank you for last week. We went retro. We went back to a two-guy show. We went to 30 minutes, and we went to no sound effects, even though you pressed a couple buttons. So I got to thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Anytime.
So, the Wizards. Now, you probably just heard Bill Roland on the show from 106.7 The Fan. Man, they have choked again. And I guess my concern, first of all, tell me, why did they lose? And then what do we do now?
Well, okay, first of all, I think if you look over, it doesn't really matter what sport, and we may have talked about this before, but it doesn't matter what sport you're playing in. There's a progression of success, and I think we'll just use the most obvious person, certainly in our lifetime, to have elevated himself over the courses. You know, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan couldn't get past the Detroit Pistons for quite some time. There was a progression, not only with him as an individual player, but as a team, you know, with the Bulls. It's about building the pieces. It's about gaining your confidence. It's about, you know, understanding what you need to do with those key moments of the game to elevate your team, to will your team to victory. And I think the Wizards, while they made a lot of progress this year, they're still, you know, a year or two away. I mean, look, they have a very good backcourt. John Wall, who did not have a good game, at least certainly didn't have a good second half of the game seven, and Bradley Beal, who was outstanding, frankly. I think Otto Porter is a nice piece. I think, Gortat is good. They have a variety of good pieces, but, you know, can they upgrade them? I think, you know, they certainly can. And there's likely to be some movement, with free agents, Paul George may be walking away from Indiana. I mean, Gordon Hayward, may leave Utah. Now, you know, I think if he leaves Utah, he may end up going to Boston since Brad Stevens was his college coach. But, I mean, the point is, I see those two players that I mentioned right there as players who could fit right into the Wizards and make a huge impact. Huge impact, particularly a Paul George, who's a bigger body, who's got a great perimeter game, but also can take it to the rack, and I think he would help the Wizards immensely. So I think at the end of the day, the Wizards are not far away, but it's a process.
Well, I'm concerned. First of all, that process has been now since 1979, so I'm not sure how much patience you have, but it sounds like the patience of Joe. I just don't understand. I'm not saying blow them up. I'm not saying that. But I got two concerns. In the backcourt, I'm concerned that, and I know financially this will get remedied over the offseason, but right now Robin makes more money than Batman. That is not going to go well. So they need to fix that. But then in fixing it, I think it's going to breed more of a problem because Robin may just be more valuable than Batman. I don't know yet. That's got to play out. I'm not as worried about the backcourt, though, but I'm worried about the frontcourt. Here's why. I think Otto Porter, they have forgotten all about it. And it may be because Batman and Robin are just, there's not enough basketballs on the court. The guy goes patches of time. I don't even know he's out there. So, and I think he's your, every great team's got to have three guys. And Otto is their third guy. Remember, he was drafted third overall in the NBA draft. This guy's no slouch in a pushing with the Georgetown. But I think that's a problem. And I also think this. I think the big, plodding, big man, those days are gone. And here's where I got to give the Knicks credit. I think a big man like Porzingis, like Leonard, these lanky guys that can shoot, even Horford at Boston, are better than these bang guys that get 10 points. Like, I was jumping up and down that Gortat got 13 points and 13 rebounds. Like, I don't want to jump around about that. I want, give me a guy that's going to score 25 and get 5 rebounds. You see what I mean? And so
I do.
I'm not suggesting blow the thing up, but I think in that front court, Markieff Morris, I mean, every time he shot, I just held my breath. Thank God he made most of it. But that's not the guy. He can't dribble in the open court. So, I guess there goes him coming on the show. But, hey, Stephen A. Smith, but I'll say whatever I want about him. But here's the thing, though. What? Like, I'm real concerned, Boston's talking about trading Isaiah Thomas. I don't know if you heard that. Trading Isaiah Thomas and just going with this number one pick. I wonder, could Grunfeld pull off some sort of package deal, three-way team deal like Bob Perry used to do back in the day to upgrade this front court? Do you see anything out there? You mentioned Paul George. Do you see anything out there where a package could be done via Boston?
Well, I mean, look, Boston with the number one draft pick and also playing in the Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, you don't get that very frequently. I mean, so they are going to
–
Well, I mean, it does, but I mean, they got that from the Nets, frankly. Who could, in theory, could use the draft pick far more than the Celtics. But I think Danny Ainge has proven himself to be a pretty astute, general manager. In fact, on my Facebook page yesterday, as the Celtics were getting pummeled, I posted at halftime that the only halftime strategy that the Celtics need to be talking about is having Ainge trade for LeBron at halftime. So, if anyone could have done it, it would have been Danny Ainge. But, of course, that's all tongue-in-cheek. But my greater point is, look, if I'm the Celtics, frankly, I would actually – and this will answer your question. I would want to conduct the draft first to see who goes where, then start trying to trade pieces. I mean, because here's the thing.
You would go ahead and pick it, and it's going to be the kid from Washington, right? Fuchs
is
the or Fuchs or whatever. Yeah.
Markelle Fultz.
It's a point guard, right? So they don't need him.
Right.
So why not go ahead and trade it to somebody that needs him and get some people for it? Because really, they're not really that good, Boston. They're really not.
Well, I mean, look, I think it's fairly evident that, they're just roadkill right now. I mean, look. How do you – I mean, I'm not going to suggest that the Celtics are 40 points worse than the Cavaliers. But, you know, the way that the Cavaliers are playing right now, I mean, let's face it. I mean, who's going to beat them in the East? Nobody. I mean, we could just – the Wizards would have been interchangeable. I mean, I'm not going to suggest the Wizards are going to lose by 46. I'd like to think that they would not. But the bottom line is there is absolutely zero window for success with the Celtics against the Cavaliers. So the delta is pretty great between the Cavaliers in the East and everybody else. So I think, you know, Danny Ainge really needs to, you know, move things around. Getting back to the Wizards, though, which is a real crux of your question, I mean, I think with Scott Brooks, it's going to come down to Scott Brooks. This was his first season. I think Scottie's got to talk about what he wants to do with the team, and that's going to dictate what pieces they get. I do think Paul George would be great for you. I think Gordon Haywood.
I agree with that. I just don't know how they do it, though. I don't think
Look. Yeah, I mean, that's
what
they, that's,
I'll give you the reason off the air. He likes Utah. I already know. I got the inside track.
I wouldn't necessarily blame him. I think it's a good fit for him, frankly. But, you know, I think the Wizards need to do something bold and remarkable. If you're going to trade, if you're suggesting you're going to trade Batman or Robin, then if you're willing to do that, then you can go and see what can I do to get, and I'll just put it out there, an Anthony Davis, a Carl Anthony Towns. I don't think the Timberwolves would give up Carl Anthony Towns. But you do need
– big deal like that.
Yeah, I mean, you do need that earth-shattering kind of deal that will send shockwaves through the league. Now, that's going to require a lot of kahunas to do that because, let's face it, I mean, I think most Wizards fans are going to if you're going to trade John Wall, if you're going to trade Bradley Beal, bring us value. And I don't think anyone would argue that there's going to be a value equation with Carl Anthony Towns or the Unibrow or somebody like that.
Well, not only that, but I think, you know, Bill Rowland and I just talked about the Mount Rushmore of DMV local sports. If Wall is representing the Wizards, Beal is 1A. So, you know, the fan base is so connected, you can't do it. So you'd have to give up, like, 8 guys to get, you know, Towns or Unibrow or whatever. So, you know, I mean, now you're talking about blowing it up, and I don't know if they'll do that. But so let's shift gears for a second. So you mentioned Cleveland. You haven't mentioned Golden State yet. But is this is bad for the league, right? This is not good that these teams are blowing out teams. They're not losing any of their games. They're getting well-rested. And quite honestly, even the finals last year, only game 7 was good. The other games were blowouts. So, I mean, what does Adam Silver do about this lack of parity?
Okay. I'm going to answer the question. I'm going to help answer the question by you answering this question as a football coach. Do you care if the Super Bowl has the Patriots and somebody else?
No.
Then I think you have your answer. Because I think ultimately...
Well, but here's the thing.
I understand. And look, I mean, Patriot games typically aren't that good either. I hate to say that because the Steelers were effectively roadkill this season against the Patriots in the playoffs. But I'll digress. But I think at the end of the day, does the league have a problem? Yeah, that you have 2 or 3 preeminent teams, because I think San Antonio has been generally representative, particularly if Kawhi Leonard didn't get hurt. They could be far more competitive. But the bottom line is you have literally a handful, if not fingers, of high-quality teams, and everyone else is just, you know, the junior varsity, shall I say. So from that standpoint, it's problematic. But if you're looking for compelling stuff, I think the NBA Finals, assuming it's Golden State and Cleveland, which is, you know, right now no one's putting up much of a fight to challenge that, then I think the ratings will people are going to watch that compellingly. And I'll just say the way the Cavaliers are playing right now, you know, I'm really thinking this is going to be a tremendous series, because I think the way the Cavaliers have been playing in the playoffs thus far is the way people expected the Cavaliers to play last year. This Cavalier team looks like Golden State in different uniforms. I mean, did you see the game last night? They're moving the ball around.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what? They are very deep. I didn't realize until it was mop-up time. I'm like, they got him? They got him?
Yeah.
I watched a Pac-12 game or two. The kid from Arizona out there, I'm like, man, they are loaded. So
yeah.
This thing may go on for a little while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a 7-game series. Now, I'm not sure who I would want to win, frankly, because last year I was a little partial, frankly, to Golden State. But the edge is off for me with Cleveland a little bit. So, I'm not sure who I want. But I think at the end of the day we're going to see a fantastic final series, because these are clearly the two best teams in the league. So it's going to be wildly entertaining. But I think the league does have to do something. And Mark Cuban actually had a very interesting proposition about the draft. He thought instead of drafting players like everyone typically does, that you give teams a certain amount of money based on their standings to basically sign players or whatever. So he's suggesting, if I heard him correctly, that like the New Jersey Nets would get, I'll just say, $100 million to sign players. The New York Knicks will get $90 million. The Boston Celtics will get $50 million. It's their money to do with what they please, to basically try to bring players to their team. It would certainly, I think, provide for much more interesting trading, much more trade activity, because I think you have players going all over the place. Because I think to a degree, Mark Cuban is right. What hinders teams is the financial purse strings in order to make the moves they need to make to be successful. You sort of have to. What's that?
It hasn't hurt Cleveland. I mean, they've maxed all their money out. I mean, they've sold out for championships.
Well,
so,
but
if you really want to win, you got to play to win.
I agree.
Boston was like the 20th richest or highest payroll, the 20th, and they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. So
they're the Celtics.
They got some room. I mean, the Celtics. If they give up, I think Isaiah's a restricted free agent at the end of next season. Avery's a free agent. I mean, they let them guys go now. Hey, that's what their football team does. Their football team will cut you in the prime of your life. They don't care about fans loving you, but they'll cut you. And I think the Celtics should do the same thing, live and die with this number one pick. And, Isaiah Thomas already seems like he's got a bad tire. He's losing air in one of his tires. So let the guy go. Hey, tell us real quick about we're coming up on time. The golf tournament. What was the outcome? Other than the fact that I hit a hole in one and you gave me a new car, which I haven't picked up. What was the outcome?
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, we had a fantastic day this past Wednesday at Oak Creek. First of all, I do want to acknowledge Oak Creek Golf Course, the pro Billy Fritz, over there. He and his staff, amazing, outstanding. It was a Chamber of Commerce day. The weather, if you don't like humidity like I don't, that's the only thing you would have had to say bad about the weather. Otherwise, on point, and we had a fantastic day. Over 100 golfers, more like 120 golfers or so. All in all, it was great. Wanda Durant was well received by everyone, and she had a great time. We also had John Booty come out, former NFL defensive back with the Jets, Eagles, and others. So it was a good day had by all. I think people are already looking forward to next year's event. So kudos to the Chamber She Committee, Sharon Ransom in particular, because without her effort in leading the planning of it, it wouldn't have gotten done, and it would not have been the fantastic event we had. People enjoyed the Bloody Marys and mimosas that were provided, that were sponsored by Walrus Oyster and Ale House, so down in National Harbor. And we had contributions from everyone, a lot of chamber members and the board. So thanks to everyone for making it a great day.
That's great. That's great. And I'll pick my car up next week.
Yeah, we're just waiting to get the. Yeah. We'll just be waiting to get the color you want.
There you go. Hey, Super Referee Craig Muckle, always we appreciate the insight. You
anytime.
Still got your hoop game. You got it down pat, man. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Super Referee Craig Muckle, man, that guy knows his hoops. He should be the general manager of the Wizards. Maybe that's the case. You know what? I'm going to get him next week. I'm going to see if he knows Mystics basketball. I bet he doesn't know Mystics basketball. I'm going to get him. Hey, our two-minute warning is real easy today. Distractions drain. We talked about RG3 versus Kaepernick, and I think everyone, there's a consensus that, you know what, the least amount of distraction is the better. And so just if you got distractions in your world, get them out. Get them out because they just drain you, and you don't want to be drained. You need all the energy you can get. So that's our two-minute warning for today. Predictions. So we're cruising right along. We did not have predictions last week, but 2 weeks ago we finished 3-0. We're 29-25 for the year. So predictions today are all over the map. First of all, I got the Nets over the Atlanta Braves, Max Scherzer on the mound. That's really not a stretch now, is it? No, it's not. But the Nets haven't been playing real well. I think they've lost 3 out of 4. Haven't been playing well. So Scherzer will stop that and beat the Braves. All right, now here we go. Now these are two good ones. Gary Russell Jr. over Oscar Escandon. Escandon. WBC Featherweight Championship in Prince George's County, Maryland at the MGM. So, hey, it's going to be a good time had by all. I don't know who Gary Russell Jr. is, but he's from Capitol Heights, Maryland, and I'm down with him, and he's going to beat Oscar Escandon. He will beat Oscar Escandon. And then here we go. This is maybe the boldest and biggest prediction of 2017. All right, grab your pen and paper. That's right. Conquest Mo Money. The Preakness. He's a 15-1 guy. He's got local trainers here. I'm telling you right now, put all your money. Don't pay your mortgage. Put all your money in the Conquest Mo Money, and you'll be able to buy a house. Trust me on that one right there. That's our prediction for this week. We'll see what happens. If I'm not back next week, you'll know why. All right, here we go. What else we got going on? Website, www.extrapointsllc.com. Find out more about it. Find out what is the Extra Points campaign. I'm giving away books. Find out how. Twitter, @LLC. Need more followers. Always more followers. I'm going to follow Bill Rowland as soon as I get off of this show. Book, Extra Points, The Life of My Story. Buy it and read it. I got so many people who buy it, and then they see me and they say, hey, man, that book was great. I go, oh, man, what'd you like about it? Oh, I haven't read it yet, but I liked you on the cover. No. Read it. Read. Reading is fundamental. Extra Points, The Life of My Story. Read that thing. Speaking. I want to speak to your team. I got a big one coming up here in June. I'll announce that shortly. But, hey, I want to come out and speak and engage your team. And, hey, if you want to see me, you have to tune in next week. And maybe I'll tell you where you real, real soon. As always, thank you, Bill Rowland. Thank you, Super Referee Craig Muckle. And thank each and every one of you for listening. Kingsley, I see you in New York, man. Big up. Love you. All right. Hey, the extra point is up, and it is good.